As we go through Masechet Avodah Zarah, the general theme of the Masechet seems to be the halachas of being merachik, of separating Klal Yisrael from the Ummas Olam, separating Jews from the non-Jewish culture and society that's around us. And we see in many areas of halacha, as we go through the Masechet, Chazal were machmir. Chazal were stringent above and beyond the call of what we find in other areas of halacha when it comes to Machol Yachim. For instance, in Yayin Nesach, there are chumris of where choshish, sveikis of Yayin Nesach in ways that are far above and beyond the regular norm when it comes to Machol Sasur, such as Nevelus, Atreifis, Bas V'cholov. We don't rely on Roy, we don't rely on different chazokas, different svaras that normally we would use in areas of doubt to be makel in certain areas of Allah. We do not find in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. One gets the impression, and really the Rishonim speak this out clearly in the coming Prakim, is that in many areas of Macholei Akum and things that are negeah to Goyim, Chazal were especially machmir in order to be machmir Klal Yisrael from the Goyim and from the influence that the Gentile society has on us if we are too social with them, we eat with them, we drink with them, and we intermingle with them freely. And therefore Chazal were so stringent in these areas of halacha. The first parak of Avodah Zarah deals with the chogos of Avodah Zarah. There are names and practices in the first parak that we're totally unfamiliar with. We barely understand the words of the Gemara sometimes as we go through them. But the underlying concept is something that has to be assimilated into our consciousness. That Chazal instituted many halachas to keep us totally separate from any hishtatlus whatsoever, not only in actual practices that the Goyim practice, but in association with the Goyim at times when they are oduk and dovuk in their Avodah Zarah. And these are the halachas that we find in the Mishnayos in our parak. As an aside, just the story that I heard recently, an interesting story about a soldier who was drafted into the German army in World War I, and before leaving for the front, he asked his Rav for advice on which areas, which mitzvahs to be particularly machmir as a safekeeping, as a school of him to come home safely. The Rav told me, you're going to be in the army, it's going to be very hard to keep Shabbos and Kashrus, etc., etc. One thing you should be Moisei Nefesh on keeping are the halachas of Yayin Nesach. And sure enough, he had a Nesoyin, but sometimes he was an officer, he had been successful, and he was invited to partake of a toast, and he didn't drink the wine. Somebody there, a senior officer, got insulted, they transferred him out of that unit, and sure enough, the next day, his unit was ambushed at the front, and in actuality, the halachas of Yayin Nesach had saved his life by having him transferred out of that unit. And the moral of the story obviously is that the halachas which most protect the yid in times of danger, when he's together with Goyim and he's exposed on all sides to Goyish culture, is a fierce mesiras nefesh to keeping oneself separate from not only from the Goyim themselves, but from their customs and from their way of life. And this is a schooler and a shmir for Yidin wherever they are, even despite the fact that we're in Golus, we live among the Goyim, we deal with them, we do business with them, we're in constant maso matan with them. But still there are halachas that Chazal instituted on our associations with Goyim, and these halachas are a tremendous source of chizuk for us in keeping us separate from the Goyim. So now let's get down to a sugya which is quite fundamental in this area of halacha. The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, the Mishnah on Daf Ches, talks about the various Yom Tovim, which are considered, that the Goyim celebrate, the Chogos, that the Goyim celebrated, which are considered to be Shaykh Avodah Zarah, and therefore Yidden are not allowed to do business with them, all the halachas that are discussed in this parak. And one of these yearly events is Yom Genusya Shal Malchayim, the Yom HaLeida V'Yom HaMisa, the day of Leida and Misa of the Malchayim Misa'ayimah. V'achachom Ma'imim in the Mishnah Da'ches, Kol Misa Sheyesh Bo Sreifa, Yesh Bo Avodas Kachom. Any Misa, any death of one of the Goyish kings or such, Goyish notables, that's commemorated with a sreifa of valuables. They used to burn valuables to show the significance of the day. Yesh ba'avayitz kacham is considered that the Goyim take this day seriously because it's connected to Avodah Zarah, and therefore all the related Yisurim would be in place. V'she'im v'sreifa ein ba'avayitz kachavim, because if the Goyim themselves do not relate to this day with a religious seriousness, then it's not considered a Yom of Avodah Zarah, and therefore all the restrictions of dealing with them on those days do not apply. The Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, in being Mefarish this Mishnah, it's Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, a little bit past the middle of the Amud, says Mechlal der Meir, who is not mechalik between Sreifa, Yom Sheyesh Besreifa, not Sova, Loishna Misa Sheyesh Besreifa, Loishna Misa Sheyem Besreifa. Polchim Bolavetz Kachom, they're both days of Avetz Kachom. Alma, the Gemara says Sreifa Lav Chukim. Sreifa is not a ceremony of religious significance, it's not an expression of allegiance to Avodah Zarah. Mechlal, we see from here, the Rabbanan Savi Sreifa Chukim. And since we pass like the Chachom, this would be a halacha, that burning objects on a day of importance would be an expression of allegiance to Avodah Zarah, and a Yid would be also to do this even if he's not doing it as an expression of Avodah Zarah. This is called Chukim. And the Gemara asks the Kasha, the Gemara brings a Tesefta, that Sofen al Malachim, even when Jewish kings pass away on the day of Misas Malachim, we are Soirif Begodim. The Gemara says this was done also by Nisim of the second Beis Hamikdash and thereafter. V'loi Midarkei Amoiri, the Tesefta says. The Gemara brings that this is not Midarkei Amoiri. Darkei Amoiri refers, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about it, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about it. Darkei Amoiri refers, was given the name Amoiri because this was the Ummah that preceded Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And following their customs that are an expression of Avodah Zarah was prohibited. And the Gemara says, "V'ichukhi anan heichi safina v'achsivu b'chukai seim lo yisaleichu." We know this pasuk. This is the pasuk at the end of Parshas Achrei Mois, where the Torah says, in relation to the Umas Ha'olam that inhabited Eretz Yisrael before Klal Yisrael came in, "U'b'chukai seim in their customs lo yisaleichu, you should not follow." If this is considered a custom where the Goyim express their allegiance to Avodah Zarah, how would we be able to do it on the Yom HaMisa of Malchei Yisrael? This is the Gemara's Kasha. What's interesting over here is that Rashi, being Mefarish this Gemara, changes the pasuk. The Gemara again brings the pasuk to Chukasem Lois Lelechu, the pasuk to end the Pasha Zachem Lois. Rashi, the Bamas of Alei Midarkei Amoiri, says Eina Midarkei Ho Amoiri Lochush Loisasek Masem. Rashi brings, interestingly enough, a different pasuk. This is a pasuk in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Again, it's another segment that's talking about destroying the Avodah Zarah. Loi Tishtachav Evel Loi Sa'ov Dem Horeis Taharsim. You should destroy all their Avodah Zarahs, all their Tzlomois when you come into Yitzchol. And then the pasuk says Loi Sa'asek Masem. You should not do the acts that they do. The pasuk seemingly refers to acts of Avodah Zarah. You should not bow down the Loi Sa'ov Dem. And Rashi brings this pasuk as an expression of this dark emor, which is interesting. Why does Rashi change the pasuk that the Gemara brings down? You have to say that Rashi held that the Gemara should bring a general pasuk for all being mistabek in darkei goyim. All customs of goyim fall under the general heading of chukah, like the Gemara calls it, and the Gemara gives that general name of chukah zelim esaleichu. But in actuality, the pasuk that is the correct and accurate asara on this inyan is the pasuk of Loisasek Masem. Why is that? Another point. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvus, Mitzvah Lamed, the Chinuch, as well, the Mitzvah Reish Tamud Beis, bring a third pasuk. They don't bring the pasuk of Loisasek Masem. They also do not bring the pasuk of B'chukasem Loisei Lechu. They bring a pasuk to end of Parshas Kedoshim. Loisei Lechu B'chukas HaGoyim Asha'ani Mishaleach Milefnechem. Again, over there the Torah is being mazir. Not Kleisol should stay far away from the Teyedis of the Umas Oilam, and we should not be mistabek in any of their customs. And the pasuk says Loisei Lechu B'chukas HaGoyim. The Rambam brings this pasuk as well as in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Yud Aleph, Shenema v'leiselchu b'chukas hagoyim, and they bring that stasoro for darkei amoiri. So there are three pasukim over here, and it would seem that every pasuk has what to offer. There's something different about each pasuk, which you see from the fact that Rashi changes the pasuk in the Gemara. Why would Rashi do that? Obviously, he felt that there was a difference between the two pasuk. L'chayre, in context of the three parshias, with these pasukim, one can get a better feel for the difference between these three halachos. They're in actuality three separate inyanim. The pasuk, as we explained in Parshas Mishpatim, where Sasek Masem that Rashi brings, is in actuality dealing with avodah zarah. Destroy their avodah zarah. Lo yishtachva, lo yisa'ovdem, lo yisasek masem. It would seem that not only are we commanded not to bow down to avodah zarah, do any of the rites that the goyim did avodah zarah shalahem, but we are also commanded that any customs which relate to their practicing of their darkei avodah zarah, we are prohibited. It's also for us, belav, to follow any of those customs. Again, it's not avodah zarah itself. And Rashi says that one of those customs, which the Gemara relates to avodah zarah by us, is the burning of objects. If that is something which has a religious significance for them as darkei avodah zarah, then the pasuk, which is mitzavas not to do the minhagei avodah zarah, which, let's say bizman hazeh, to make it more relevant, the equivalent would be if a yid wants to show that he's serious about something, chalila, a yid would cross himself. It's not about the zara itself. What he's doing is he's doing a custom that goyim do, which is a custom of allegiance to avay the zara. If a yid does that, he's over on a lav of lesasim kamaseh. The second apostle that the Gemara brings is in the end of Parshas Achrei Mos. Over there, the Torah is talking about the toyevos of the goyim. When Klai Yisrael was ready to come to Eretz Yisrael, the terrible abominations that were practiced by the Anshe Mitzrayim and Anshe Knan, different forms of Arayis and Niuv and Ritzicha, were prohibited to Klai Yisrael. And the Torah warns very strongly, not only in being mizdavik in any of these ways, which the Torah tells us will chalila be the source of Christ or being driven into Golus, which ultimately happened, but we're also commanded not to follow any of their customs, which they do as their expression, as their self-expression, not for any reason of Tehillah. It's just a gauche way. Every culture has its way of expressing. People have their way of expressing themselves, and any custom which doesn't have any specific reason, it's just the goyish way of expressing oneself, and he does that in order to express himself in the way that a goy expresses himself, on that is a lav of b'chuk ha'sem lo yisei lechu. Again, this seems to be a richuk from the isurim which are listed in that passion. Keeping away from goyish customs in that way, it keeps one away from the te'evos which are an outgrowth of that culture, the abomination that are practiced by a culture, a direct outgrowth of that culture itself. Staying away from the mores of a culture, keep one away from the terrible te'evos that are practiced by that culture. The third passion, the end of Parshas Kedoshim, is a totally separate idea. And I want to read to you from the Lashon of the Rambam, who brings that pasuk. The Rambam says, "Ein holken." This is in the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. "Ein holken b'chukas agoyim." One may not v'loy medamin behem. One may not try to resemble a goy like a malbush or like the seir ki yoytzvem shenema v'leseilchu b'chukas agoyim. V'nema b'chukasem loyseilchu. And the pasuk over there tells us in the end of Parshas Kedoshim. Pasuk says, "Loiselcha b'chukas agoy." The pasuk over there continues, the end of Kedoshim. "Lo'im alochem, atem tishus ad mosom." And the pasuk says, "Vivdaltim ben abeim atoy latmei." And the pasuk says, "Asher vivdalti lochem netami v'yisim li Kedoshim ki Kedosh v'ad lo eschem ino anum li oisli." And the Rambam tells us, based on this pasuk, Hakol bin in echad umazin eteri. This is all the same idea. Shelo yidam lohem eliyah haYisraeli. A Jew must be moved on lohem. He must be separate from them. V'yadua. He must be distinct from abushay in his way and form of dress. U'bishar ma'isav in all his actions. K'moishu moved on mehem b'madoy u'bedei oisav. In his outlook, in his hashkofa, and his views on different events and ideas, we understand that a yid doesn't have the same way of thinking as a goy. So too, a yid must be outwardly noticeable from a goy. He must be distinct from a goy in his form of dress, in his manner of self-expression, and so on and so forth. This is a separate idea. This is not an idea of being misrachet, not just a means of being marchet klaiso from averos, but in and of itself, it's an expression of klaiso being the am school of the yisum. The am school of klaiso must be moved al mufesh, separate and distinct from the umois amongst which they dwell. There's an interesting lomdisha point to add to this. The chinuch says that if somebody is oivin on this lav, if somebody is oivin on darkei amoiri, loikin al lav zeh, it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. The Yireim argues, and the Yireim says that it's a lav shebechlolos. Lav shebechlolos refers to it's a halakha that the Gemara brings in different places, where a lav is not any one defined act, but it has different types of ideas expressed in the same pasuk. On that type of lav, since it's not one idea, there's no malakas. And the Iranians says there's different ideas expressed in this pasuk of Darkei Amoiri of Leselchum Bechuk Zagoy, therefore there's no Malkus. What's the Machloikis? The Chinuch holds that all the different ideas of Darkei Amoiri and not dressing like a Goy and not following Goyish custom, so on and so forth, are all based on the same concept. The Iranians seems to be saying that there's different concepts expressed in the same pasuk. The way we explained it, there's not a different concepts. They might all be based on the same idea, but there's one which is being Machi Klai Yisrael from Teyedris of Goyim, one is being Machi Klai Yisrael from Avodah Zarah of Goyim, and one idea is being Machi Klai Yisrael from Goyim Bechlal, of making the Eden stand out and are distinct in their manner of self-expression. It's different in Yom. If it's different in Yom than one person, it's a Lav Shebechlal, there's no Malkus. That's just an added interesting point. Let's try to make this a little more halacha l'maaseh. The Ramah in Yerideh Simakufa and Ches brings from the Chumash Marik. Interestingly enough, the Marik was asked by a Jewish doctor in Italy who wanted to wear the kamen garb that was worn in those days. I probably don't think that it was a white coat that's worn today. There was some type of professional form of dress that was worn by the doctors of those days, and he'd wanted to wear it. He was choishish that he's oivin al b'chukasem v'selechum v'selechum b'chukasagoy. So he asked the Marik was mechadish that these yisurim are only when a yid is wearing a dress of a goy in order to assimilate them, in order to be one of them. A yid wears a manner of dress which is distinctly worn by goyim as an expression of goyishkeit, of their culture. Every form of dress is an expression of the culture of the wearer. So Marik said, when a doctor is putting on a uniform, it's not the uniform is not expressing that he's a goy, it's expressing that he's a doctor. If a yid puts on that uniform, he's not saying, even though goyish doctors wear it, he's not calling himself a goy, he's calling himself a doctor. The Marik said this is mutter. Also, Marik said, when it's not being done as a form of assimilation into goyim, then it's mutter. Even though right now he's wearing the same form of dress as a goy, he's not noticeable from them. The Marik was mutter because Marik said the whole issue over here is what a yid is wearing distinctly goyish dress in order to blend with them, in order to become one of them, which, as we're explaining, will lead a yid to the forms of behavior which Klal Yisrael is prohibited from practicing, imitating, and being mistabik in the Umas Oilam, in their culture and ways of behavior. And the Marik, the wording, the way the Ramah brings it down, would seem to fit very nicely with our three ideas that we're basing on the three psukim. He says that the only time it's awesome to wear goyish clothing is bedovah shenogu akum l'shem pritzus, as something leading to our eyes. Bedovah shenogu keminig v'choyik. Ve'ein tam bedovah sheyesh lachshosh mitoshum darkei amoiri, which is the pritzus and the darkei amoiri, which has to do with the abominations that were practiced and are practiced by the goyish culture. And this is the pasuk in Akhir Mois. And then the Ramah adds, or something sheyesh mev shemetz avay dizor me'avisem, which is the pasuk in Mishpatim. Or he's wearing this manner of dress in order to be mizdabik, to assimilate with them. The goyim in Kufa and Ches argues very strongly with Marik. He says that the issue of Va'ad Laskum and Agoyim, I'm sorry, of Dark and Marik, he says, is not only when a yid is wearing the goyish clothing and becoming one of them. He says there's a separate Indian for a goy to be moved out, to be distinct in his manner of dress. The goy said, and this would seem to agree with the Rambam that we read, that besides for the inyonim of being mizdabek and darke goy, because you're going to come to their maisim, but there's a separate and distinct Indian in a yid being mechuyiv to be moved out, to be oisked second, to be separate in manner of expression and manner of dress from the goyim. So it has nothing to do with whether he's trying to assimilate with them. He's mechuyev to look different than them. If right now he's wearing a doctor's coat and everybody thinks that he's a goy, he's over on this lab. This is the goyim's opinion. The goyim is married, the goyim holds very strongly at this. Truth to be told, the Prisha over there in the Torah, Kufa and Ches, explains that even according to the Rambam, it would be enough to be distinct, to have a distinctly Jewish look in one beged. For instance, if goyish doctors wear goyish clothing, they wear doctor's clothing, but they go bareheaded, and he goes with doctor's clothing, and he wears a yarmulke, he has a head covering of some sort, that distinctly denotes that he's Jewish. And that, if that's the case, he wouldn't be even going to the Rambam. Even if you want to be choshish for the Rambam, that a yid has to be distinctly different in dress than a goy, that would differentiate him. Interestingly enough, the chassid, the minig of the chassidim, to be machmir every single beged, which is goyish in nature, and the goy says, and the chassidim are machmir, even the shirts that the chassidim wear, instead of buttoning them the left side over the right side, they do it. They make their shirts vice versa, all in order that every single beged should be distinctly Jewish. This would fit very nicely, ironically enough, with the shita of the goyim. The goyim seems to say that anything that's worn by goyim, and it's any costume that's practiced by goyim for yid dogi, he's only going to sell chumachufis goyim. The goyim does not make a distinction between one beged and all of them. It doesn't seem to hold like the shita of the prisha. However, the minig olam seems to be, you see that people are mako, that as long as a yid keeps himself distinctly looking Jewish, then he can wear doctor's clothing. The minig is not to be machmir on this. If that's the case, the minig is either like the marik, where it's not also at all, unless it's being practiced as a form of assimilation. Wearing doctor's clothing is not a form of assimilation. He's wearing the clothing of a doctor, not of a goy. Or if he wants to blend in and make himself into one of them, that would be awesome. But if not, then it would be mutter, which is why the marik is matir. The chassidim seem to be machmir not only like the Rambam according to Prisha, but even the Rambam, the shita which is most chomer, the shita of the Rambam according to the Pirush of the goyim. Now, what we mentioned in reference to wearing the yarmulke. The Chuvus of the Kadmoni Ashkenaz, it seems that already in the 1500s the Jews, most of the Jews in Ashkenaz in Germany, did not wear distinctly Jewish dress. They wore the same manner of dress as the surrounding Gentiles. And the shadow was discussed by different poskim. Marie Bruna and others point out that even if in the Gemara's times and in the Gemara's context, wearing of a yarmulke is considered a mitzvah chassidus, there's no strict halacha being mechayev wearing a yarmulke, but it's a mitzvah chassidus to give one an added measure of Yiras Shamayim as a reminder that there's hashkocha elyoino on top of it. That's why we wear a head covering. But if the head covering is taken, if the yarmulke is taken off, says the Marie Bruno, and because of that the yid becomes indistinguishable from his goyish neighbors, then not only is he oivan the mitzvah chassidus, but he's also a pesher, because he's now being mizdabek b'minhagei goyim zeichon laselchum chukos goyim. Again, this could be true even according to the Marik. If he's dressing that way in order to assimilate, to look the same as the Goyim, then he'll be even according to the Marik. But certainly according to the Rambam, he'll be over. If he's wearing Goyish dress, plus he doesn't even have that one beged to keep him separate from the Goyim, then he'll be a Peshe according to anybody. Even according to the Prisha's Mahalach in the Rambam, and even according to the Marik Luchara, he would be over. This is what the Marik Bruna says. The Moshe Feinstein, the English Moshe, was sent a letter, I think in 1946 or 1947. One of the Rabbonim came over after the war. He was a refugee, came over from Poland, from the DP camps. And he asked him, Moshe, about the fact that in America he sees that the younger generation goes clean shaven and they go with short jackets and the hats that were then in style amongst the goyim. And he wants to know from Moshe if Moshe condones this meaning. And Moshe says that since the custom was already mushrash, a few generations in America, the Yidden did not wear. The Yidden that came later on actually brought back, and this is becoming more popular today, the distinctly Yiddish way of dress, of a beard, of a payis, of the Hasidish mode of dress, even by non-Hasidish, the mode of dress is much more distinctly Jewish than it was, Baruch Hashem. I don't know if today it's even an insight to want to dress in a distinctly Goyish way. Ramesha said that since this was not being done, at least in 1947, as a method of assimilation, as a mode of assimilation, but it was something that was already mushrash me from a few generations back, and it was hard to change, so it would not be a violation of the circle of Hufz Nagoy, he based himself on the Marik. The Marik says that the issue is not when a Yid is not distinctly noticeable from Goyim, but Marik says it's only when it's a form of assimilation. That would not be true about somebody who was wearing a short jacket and went clean-shaven in the year 1947. Obviously, like we said, according to the Goyim, it would be a big mokoyim to be machmen this. V'chol ha-machmen v'dvar me'elu. Obviously, areizim v'shubo. One last interesting point to make, the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah in Perek Beis brings the halacha of the lavan of giluach pasei roish, of lo sakifu pasei roishchem and lo sigaleach, tar lo yovoi. He brings these halachos as derech koyim. He brings these halachos because the priests of the goyim dress this way, cut their hair this way, cut their beards this way. And the Torah in Yeriday Kuf Be'alav asks on the Rambam that since when do we bring time to the crow? The halacha is halacha. We're not bechuyif to bring a reason. The reason why the Torah told us not to do such and such is because of a reason. Interestingly enough, the Taz in Yeridaya in Kuf Be'alav says that it would seem from the Rambam that the halacha is only based on the Tam, which is why the Rambam brings it. If all of a sudden it would become the vogue, the style by all goyim to grow long beards and not to be makif pa'as roshkem, every goy would put on a beard and payas, then it would not be also for a yid to shave with a razor or to be makif pa'as roshkem. Which tachrei b'matmi, how could this be true? Since when do halachas in the Torah, lav and deraisa, become a fool, become obsolete when the tam that's given to them become bokeh? The Mechas Chinuch asked this kasha in Sim Reish Nun Aleph. It's possible that what the Taz meant to say was not klapei the lav itself. The Taz only meant to point out that besides for the lav as a lav itself of Lesakifu Pasreshkin, there's also an added Indian that the goyim do it, and therefore it would be also because of Minhagei Akum, because of Darkei Amorim. In which case, the Taz just means to say that if that would be the case, let's say somebody would be makif pasreish, but he wouldn't do it with a tar, he would do it only with the scissors, he would look like he's makif pasreish, but he wouldn't do the maise isa of the Torah, that it would be mutter because it wouldn't be chukas agoyim. Maybe that's what the Taz means. The wording of the Taz would seem to indicate not that way, but it's like the Mechitzah Tzimtzum says, a fellow, since when do halachos in the Torah become bottle because of the bittul of time? So again, we discussed the different yisurim that relate to Minhagei Akum, which are very relevant in our discussion of the sugyas and Avodah Zarah that we're learning. The three psukim, the three inyanim, we discussed the machlokes, the marik, and the goyim, which would seem to be like this really between the Marik and the Rambam, about whether the Indian is only prohibiting Eden of practicing Goyish customs as a means, as a mode of assimilating with them, becoming similar to them, or even an Isser for a Yid not to be distinguishable from the non-Jews around him. And we discussed the different practical halacha and lemaisa ramifications of this. And in Yitzhak Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom should be mezakeh us to a full realization of Va'avdol Eschem, Va'ovi Eschem Elai, Al-Kanfei Neshorim, that the Klal Yisrael should live again in Eretz Yisrael, Nikke V'Nivdol, as an Am Mufchar, V'Yisrael Mishkul V'Kol Amim. Amen, Ken Yirotzen.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.